Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello. This is a poopcast about gossip, dirty laundry, chitter chatter, and back fence prittle prattle. In each episode, Joe Wilkinson and David Earle invite you lot, the lovely listeners, to send in any juicy gossip you might have heard over the years. At the end of each episode, they will choose their favorite bit of gossip and place it on the new Gossip Mongers leaderboard. It's ever so big and shiny, so, without further ado, welcome to Gonad Marbles? No. Goose Mothers? No. Gooey Gloopy Meringues? No. Gossip Mongers? Yes. Gossip Mongers? Yes. Yes. That's it. Gossip Mongers, welcome. Get your gossip goggles on. Gossip number one.
Right. This is from Ryan. I am writing this gossip as a recent piece covered by yourselves reminded me of some of my school days. To set the scene, the individual that this concerns, we will call him Noodles, as he dyed the tips of his brown curly hair blonde so they resembled noodles. During school, we called him this constantly, much to his dismay. Anyway, the gossip comes 3 or 4 years later when another mate of mine who lived round the corner from Noodles went to his house. Please bear in mind, this was after he was invited. A scheduled meeting between the two to go out and play football or something. So my friend Reg knocks on for Noodles and his mum answers the door. When Reg said the usual, "Is Noodles in?" he was directed straight up to his room. Reg goes in. He makes his way up the stairs towards Noodles' bedroom and opens the door to reveal something very Noodle-esque, but still shocking. Noodles was stood there, thrusting his penis into the mouth of a lubed-up ornamental frog.
I like ornamental frogs.
So does Noodles. He turned round.
It's sort of slowly seeping in, that is.
It's same for the frog.
Same as Noodles. Just say that after everything I say.
That's what Noodles said. That's how Noodles laughed. He turned round fully nude and with his cock still in the mouth of the frog, with his jaw almost into the floor in shock. Reg looked at him and said, "Lady now," and walks out of the room to go back home.
He's 55. And then only falls and all.
Unsurprisingly, Noodles hated this rumour and constantly denied it to everyone, but we knew what he was like. Wind forward a few weeks, months after the incident, and Reg is back round Noodles' house.
That's his fault, isn't it?
This time sat in the living room watching the football. To his surprise, sitting on the mantelpiece, staring right at him, was the frog. I had and I still have so many questions. Was it the first time Noodles had done it? And he realised his mistakes, cleaned it up and popped it back on the mantelpiece. Does he do it regularly? Do his parents notice a missing frog and then see it reappear? Why has he organised a kickabout with a mate to then steal a household item to have sex with? You know what? When Noodles comes to moving out, he's going to take that one item with him for sure. Poor froggy. Love the podcast. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Ryan. And Noodles.
Thank you, Noodles.
Noodles. Up in his bedroom. Up in his bedroom.
having a bit of private fun time with his parents, Wooden Froggy. His parents, Wooden Froggy.
Wooden Froggy.
Open wide. Little present for Froggy. Open wide, Froggy.
Wooden Froggy.
Noodles. Froggy. Gossip number two.
This is from Rob. My flat in northeast London overlooks the River Lee and the marshes on the other side. It's quite a little green haven in this noisy and polluted part of town. I often sit watching kingfishers, terns and other wildlife and count myself lucky. It calms me. Imagine my surprise about a year ago on a bright spring evening when I heard swearing and shouting coming from outside. It gradually got louder and louder. After about 15 minutes, a fully dressed man floating in the middle of the river came into view. He was hurling profanities at the top of his voice at anyone he noticed on the towpath. He was moving very gradually with the sluggish flow of the river. As a small crowd gathered on the bank, his insults and gestures increased and he refused any help to get him out. A poor lady on a bike passing by got called a shite munching twat. It reminds me of Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh, just on his back, floating slowly down the river.
Pouring honey, calling people fucking arseholes.
The river-born gentleman kept shouting that he was from Bolton. In his strong northern accent. He also kept asking where he was and was surprised every time someone told him East London.
How long's he been floating?
He clearly got more agitated every time someone told him he was in London. Wanker signs, the middle finger, and the throwing of river weeds started to accompany his verbal trade at the well-meaning folk on the towpath.
The towpath. Sounds really idyllic. Having a stroll down the towpath. I was calling you cunt.
A barge dweller who tried to fish him in with a boat hook was loudly informed that he was a pissing nonce cock. It was on a bright spring evening. I know there's a lot of rain and flooding last spring in the north of England, but he couldn't have, surely. I've since looked up the course of the River Lee on Google Maps, but it only starts 40 miles north of here, near Luton. The origin of our riverine friend remains a mystery to this day. How far had he come? Did he manage to navigate the locks and weirs upstream? Why was he fully clothed? Footnote. He was eventually pulled out but tried to bite the rescuing policeman and was arrested. This actually happened. Rob, that is fantastic.
That's great.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
Angry Northern Man with a right potty mouth.
Potty mouth. Potty mouth.
Angry Northern Man floating down the river. Floating down the river with a right potty mouth. Hurling insults at all the passers-by. Lashing out at the ducks and swans. Causing a right bloody scene on such a peaceful day. Potty mouth man.
Potty mouth man.
Angry northern man.
Angry northern man.
Floating potty mouth man. Gossip number three.
This is from Dave. Hello, gossip mongers. I heard this gossip from a best friend who dated a sexual health clinic worker in London. She told him about a gentleman that walked into her clinic. They ran the usual tests of STDs and he came back positive for nearly every single one. Alarmed at the results, she asked him what he was doing in his personal life to get in such a state. Sheepishly, he divulged his sexual vice. Late at night, he would walk around the parks in the local area, frequented by cottagers and doggers, and search the ground for discarded used condoms.
Oh, dear.
He would carefully pick up each one he found and suck the cold contents of spunk.
God's sake.
Out of the tip like a Froob yogurt.
Can we not record these in the morning anymore?
Oh, God.
Fucking hell, I feel sick.
She also told of a story where another gentleman came into her clinic in serious pain. He waddled into her examination room and, as instructed, lay down on the bed and removed his trousers and pants. To her shock, there was a white iPod cable, USB cable, hanging out the end of his shaft.
That RoboCop.
His penis was swollen.
I know why.
As he'd been trying to remove the other end that was stuck in his urethra. Upon carefully dislodging it, she realised that it wasn't the nice, slim-lined lightning cable of today, but the old-style one-inch-wide 16-pin connector. Oh, that one, yeah. That he had managed to stuff inside his cock.
Why had you done that? Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Man, Lord.
God.
I've got one of those wires in sight.
Have you? Can I see it? So I don't quite know what it is.
Well, they're like, it's for my iPad. Oh, no, it's not that one. Oh, it's a normal one. Oh, it's annoying. But it's like, it's about that wide. And they're probably for like iPhones from about 6 years ago.
What, and he put that end up his willy?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Why do you get to the point where
I'm really trying to think of like an Apple joke or a part of my brain's come on.
You're imagining you're on Mock the Week.
Yeah, I'm really trying. That's why I never do it. And
you can see the camera's panned on you and you're sweating.
Fucking hell. Well, that's not very smart of him.
smartphone.
Yeah, smartphone. Okay.
David, your subject to be funny about is Apple phones.
Is that how it works?
I don't know.
Oh. The camera doesn't pan round to you, does it? Waiting for a joke. You've done it. Fucking hell, I'd hate that.
It went really badly.
God, I'd hate that. Okay. Yeah.
I don't even know
the angle that any of them, that those comedians would come at that story with. I don't know how to make anything funny. I just realised. Fucking hell. How would you do it? What is the angle? That's whatever. Let's get on to the next gossip.
Well, I was listening to a ComCom pod with someone and he said how to do it.
Okay, cool.
I can't remember what he said.
Yeah.
But it was something along the lines of, you think of something that sound. Oh, God, it's something to do with two stories colliding or something.
Okay, on to the next gossip. 20 years in the business.
In the biz. The business we call fun.
Okay, now.
Dirty STD clinic man. Licking all the used condoms. Lick, lick. Condoms. Lick, 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 lick. Dirty man. Slurp, slurp. Condoms. 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 Dirty, dirty man. Phone charger stuck in his knob. Dirty STD clinic man. Phone charger in his knob. Licking all the used condoms. Lick, lick.
Condoms.
Lick, lick. Gossip number 4.
Okay, this is from Anonymous. I need to preface this by saying that my friend Nigel is a completely normal guy who works in marketing and that since school has always looked forward to getting his copy of Top Gear magazine in the post every month. I've heard this story a few times, normally after a few too many drinks. However, the details remain disturbingly consistent. Back at university in Hatfield, Nigel shared a room with his girlfriend Laura in a house share after meeting the year before in halls. Laura and Nigel began to argue a lot while sharing a room. And so, to ease the tensions, Nigel encouraged Laura to go out to the local clubs and pubs so that they weren't under each other's feet all the time.
Yeah, this is going to last forever.
One night, Nigel agreed to pick Laura up from a local club. Laura came out the club with a friend and asked Nigel if he could drop the friend named David off on the way home. Nigel, being the kind boyfriend that he is, agreed, and so David jumped in the back of Nigel's red Nissan Micra. However, instead of getting into the passenger seat as Nigel expected, Laura jumped into the back with David.
We're all jumping ahead here, aren't we?
Nigel drove in silence, refusing to look in the rearview mirror in case it confirmed his suspicions that the sloppy smacking sound was in fact Laura and David getting off with each other. Upon arriving at David's, and to Nigel's surprise, David and Laura both exited the car and went into David's flat. Nigel drove back to the house he shared with his girlfriend alone. When Laura returned home the next morning, she explained to Nigel that David was just a friend and that they just enjoyed hanging out together. Over the next few weeks, Nigel would often come home from classes to find Laura and David watching TV in Nigel and Laura's room or spending time at David's flat studying. Every time Nigel questioned their relationship, Laura said that she and David were just friends and told Nigel he shouldn't be so paranoid. Towards the end of term, Nigel came back from class expecting that both Laura and his new issue of the Top Gear magazine would be waiting for him in his bedroom. He was hoping he could sort things out before they both went back home for the Easter break. However, neither Laura nor the Top Gear magazine could be found. He checked with his housemates and the post had definitely been, but there was no magazine. He texted Laura asking where she was and got the reply, "Me and David are at the house, but we've left and gone over to his for the evening. I'll be back tomorrow." For Nigel, this was the last straw. He could almost accept that David and Laura were sleeping together, but David coming to his home, sleeping with his girlfriend, and then stealing his copy of the Top Gear magazine was a step too far. He says he saw red and thought, "I'm going to kill David." Packed a shovel and some rope into the boot of his car.
Same red Nissan.
He knew that the council were building a new bypass locally, and all he needed to do was dump his body into the foundations, and it wouldn't be found for decades. He would knock on David's door, hit him with the shovel, tie him up, and pack David into the boot of the Micra. Nigel claims he even put the back seats down so that David would fit. However, while driving to David's flat, he saw sense and realized what he was doing was crazy. So he turned around and went home. A couple of days later, at the end of term, Nigel arrived back at his mum's house, spending the whole journey shocked at how close he had come to premeditated murder. He opened the front door, said hello to his mum, and went to drop his bags in his bedroom. Going into the room, he noticed sitting on the bed was a copy of the April edition of the Top Gear magazine. He had changed the delivery address a few weeks earlier so that he wouldn't miss that month's issue while he was home for Easter.
I don't know if that's fantastic. really fucking slow. Like a thriller film at like half speed. Do you know? It sort of has the ingredients, but none of the verve. And the fact they're called Nigel, David, and Laura.
Nothing wrong with the name David. Nice and solid name, as my mother would say. That'll last for years, that name,
yeah,
David.
It doesn't stand out. It's nice and vanilla. He'll never be at the front.
Yeah, but you will be. You'll be there.
You'll be fifth. You'll be in the mix. You'll never shine.
Poor old Nigel. His girlfriend Laura and her special friend David. Kissing on the back seat. Freeze a crowd. Naughty, naughty Laura. Oh well, at least Nigel still has his lovely Top Gear magazine. Top Gear magazine consolation prize. End of part 111. Part 2 time, more juicy gossip, please. Gossip number 5.
Hello, David and Joe. This is from Sam. My father is absolutely adamant that he once spotted Janet Jackson whilst browsing the sprung cabinet hinges in B&Q. The story goes that she walked straight out of the home furnishings section brandishing a curtain pole and a quartz alarm clock. As unbelievable as the story seems, it was lent some credibility by the fact that the previous night she had played Sheffield Arena. What followed next, he is always described as his most daring escapade.
Oh, wow.
Wanting to get a closer look at the Princess of Pop, he decided to use all of his DIY store experience to beat her to the checkout by taking a shortcut through the paint and wood treatments aisle. He knew that time was of the essence, and ultimately this would be his downfall. A brisk walk turned into a jog into a canter, as he embarked on his shortcut of choice. A flat trolley was unexpectedly pushed into his path. His only option was to keep going. He stepped up onto the moving trolley in a move that shocked his pusher, who instinctively let go and distanced themselves from the proceedings. My father misjudged the relationship between the speed of both his own canter and the now ownerless trolley and fell forwards, arms flailing straight into a display of dewlaps. Tins of matte emulsion paint were sent flying in all directions. Several lids came loose as the tins spanned. In my father's version of events, Janet rushed round the corner using her curtain pole for balance as she navigated the treacherous paint. She stayed with him until store security reached them and he was taken to a quiet area of the store to be checked for any impact injuries. He asked after his saviour, but she had vanished as quickly as she had appeared. My mother was called to collect him as he had mild concussion. When she arrived, she was told that a man in his mid-40s with a wig and heels had helped my father. He disputes this claim.
Right.
Oh, dear.
Janet Jackson. In B&Q.
In B&Q.
Janet Jackson. Buying cabinet hinges. In B&Q.
Janet Jackson. In B&Q.
Janet Jackson. In B&Q. Who else could it be? Janet Jackson. B&Q. 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 Gossip number 6.
This is from Arthur in Leeds. I don't think we've ever had a gossip from an Arthur. Hello, gossip mongers. My name is Arthur, and I have a nugget of gossip that I feel needs to be shared at a push reported to the RSPCA. Oh, God. The gossip takes place in the sun-kissed state of Florida, where a friend of mine whose name rhymes with Rihanna was taking the dream holiday to visit a big-eared, topless nonce, Mickey Mouse, at Disneyland. Disney World.
What? Going to visit what?
The big-eared, topless nonce, Mickey Mouse.
Topless nonce?
Is Mickey Mouse a nonce? Rihanna, about 28 at the time, was finally living her dream of visiting a bunch of failed actors in fancy dress that posed for photos and paying $20 for a lukewarm Coke in a novelty cup. He's a jolly fella, isn't he, Arthur?
Oh, fucking hell.
Cheer up, Arthur. Just when she thought it couldn't get any better, her fiancé surprised her with a trip to swim with the dolphins. Rihanna had always loved these majestic animals, but none of us knew that just how much.
None of us what?
Knew just how much.
Right.
Rihanna's fiancé and a small group of other dolphin lovers were led to a small pool for an aquatic meet and greet with the frolicking mammals. Each couple were introduced to their respective dolphins, where they stood in the chest-height pool where the dolphin would placidly lie there to be petted. This was going well, the dolphin lying on its back as they petted and tickled it. Rihanna's partner was growing concerned when their dolphin was growing more and more excited during the session. He looked around at the other partner's dolphins idly lying there and was confused to why theirs was splashing around so much. He looked over and asked Rihanna what she was doing. Her reply was that she was playing with its little belly button, and the dolphin seemed to like it. The dolphin did indeed like it. A wry look in her eye and a constant cackle as it squirmed in the water. It was at this point the fiancé looked down at the area where he assumed the dolphin's belly button would be and found Rihanna's hand was not quite on the mark. It was with the slow, horrific realisation that his eyes drifted towards the lower part of the dolphin's body. There he could see his future wife's finger inside the dolphin up to the second knuckle.
What?
Engagement ring glinting what? In the Florida sun.
Oh, my God.
There he could see his future wife's yeah. finger inside the dolphin up to the second knuckle. Engagement ring glinting in the Florida sun. Yes, she was fingering a dolphin.
So she knew what she was doing?
I don't know. He looked up at her, but she was laughing merrily at the dolphin's face, blissfully unaware, or perhaps not, considering an aquatic lesbian encounter as cheating. He slapped her hand away and sharply muttered under his breath as to what she was doing.
I like that he's getting jealous. What are you doing?
Stop fingering a dolphin in front of me. Now presently mortified herself, and under exclamations of, I thought it was the belly button, then the pair excused themselves from the rest of the session, saying she didn't feel very well. The dolphin... the dolphin had to be calmed by three retainers as they tried to leave. It didn't want her to go.
This is really horrible,
as she had clearly, as she had clearly only done half a job. My friend still can't fully enjoy any episodes of Flipper to this day.
Are they still together?
All the best. Yeah, got three
that
kids.
That would end a relationship, wouldn't it?
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
What? No, it would.
Let me just think. Yeah, I'd love her a bit less, yeah. Definitely. It'd struggle.
Yeah.
She didn't do it deliberately, I don't
yes,
think.
Yes, she did. She put her finger up.
Up a dolphin.
She did do it deliberately. She put her finger up to her knuckle.
That's second knuckle.
That's a deep belly button. There's no need to put it in a hole. If I saw a hole...
In an animal.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't put your finger in it?
I can promise you I would.
And I'll say that in a court of law. Stunned silence.
I've
what do we do with that?
I'm surprised you're not bothered by that.
No, absolutely fine with it.
Yeah, but if you're whatever. On to the next one.
No, I just want to. I'm
just about imagining being
the dolphin
engaged to be married, and then suddenly your fiance's doing that. I go, what the hell are you doing? Oh, nothing. Just what do you mean, nothing? Oh, just tickling its belly. No, you're not. You've got your finger. You know exactly what you're doing.
Can we have this conversation back at the hotel?
Can we have the retainers, please?
I'd get three if I was you.
Just finish him off.
Look, you've got two options. You have to pay for three retainers, or you're going to have to finish out.
Flipping hell. Thank you, Arthur. I'm a little bit shocked. Fine, if you're not, move on.
No, I'm not. I'm enjoying now. No, I'm not.
I was just imagining
this.
Being him and how I'd cope with it.
Yeah,
I
know you're
very well with
no,
it. You can hear.
I'm not saying I wouldn't cope with it better, but I'm not putting myself there. I'm not putting myself in that mindset.
I am.
Well, stop.
Okay, on to the next. I think that's a good one because I think it's...
It stunned you.
I think it's starts a discussion.
Let's open the forum up to the public.
Well, I think it's shocking.
Okay, well, the votes are in, and
she knew what she was doing.
And she
she thought it was her belly button. She went, oh, he's enjoying this. Let's just stick my finger up there, knowing that actually what I'm doing here is questionable.
Do you reckon it's premeditated?
No, but I think
she just went with
both of them suddenly enjoying it. And so she got sort of lost in the moment.
I like how you went, no, she's not. It's not premeditated, mate. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying she went into it saying, I'm going to finger a dolphin.
No.
But I think she knew what she was doing and she didn't stop, which I'm not saying is as bad as premeditated. But I still think it's wrong. No one's arguing with you, David.
Well, yeah, but...
You're arguing with yourself. You're going, why is no one upset as me?
No, it's just you're there sort of happy Larry, just, whatever.
I'm just not imagining my fiancé's done it.
We'll do it.
All right, when did I get married?
Genuinely.
Okay,
you
so 6 years ago. Well, I'm trying to imagine a holiday we've been... Yeah, I mean, a holiday that might have dolphins, yeah? Yeah, it's unsettling, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, I got her in the end.
Yeah, you're right. It's horrible.
Thank you. And good night.
Rihanna and the dolphin playing with its belly button.
Belly button, belly button, belly button.
Rihanna and the dolphin. Dolphin belly button tickle. Dolphin belly button tickle.
Belly button.
Happy, happy dolphin. Rihanna, I'm not sure if that's its belly button. Happy, happy dolphin.
Dolphin belly button tickle.
Naughty, naughty Rihanna.
Belly button tickle.
Gossip number 7.
This is from Maya. Dear Gossip Mongers, this story I always tell to new people I meet. It was perhaps the worst moment of my life, and yet people never failed to laugh at it. When I started secondary school, we were made to join an after-school club. Being awful at all sports and a cripplingly shy 11-year-old, I opted for the orchestra. I had done piano lessons for 3 years and hopefully could hide in the back and wouldn't have to speak to any new people. I was terrible at piano, and my teacher told me frequently I should probably stop having lessons. I arrived on the first day and was given sheet music way beyond my level. I wasn't even a grade one. I knew instantly I was out of my depth. However, the instrument provided was an electronic keyboard and I could simply turn down the volume to naught and pretend to play. Brilliant. No one suspected a thing. I cruised through my mandatory extracurricular for a year and a half, jabbing away at random notes with the volume all the way down, never listening to the conductor and paying attention to nothing. Then one day I was in science when the orchestra conductor, Mrs. Yates, knocked on the door and told me the coach was waiting. The coach for what? I wasn't sure, but I packed up my things and went. I came to the front of the school and there was a coach packed with the entire orchestra. I climbed aboard and sat on my own. My plan of not speaking to people had worked and wondered where on earth we were going. We drove for about 40 minutes to a big city and we went into a huge music hall. I saw an A4 sign that read, County Secondary School Orchestra Competition. I can see where this is going. I stayed calm. I knew that as long as I turned the keyboard all the way down, I could do as I always had and elegantly press silent notes while the genuinely talented orchestra played over me. Oh, dear. I heard Mrs. I'm getting really tense. I overheard Mrs. Yates say we were on first and we'd have to go to the stage and set up. So we gathered up our instruments and I took my fast faltering confidence and followed the group to the stage. Then I saw it. A great big grand piano. It was truly beautiful and in perfect condition, meant for true artists. A very kind older man found me and asked if I was the piano player. I nodded silently. He brought me a new velvet piano stool and adjusted it until I was comfortable. And then he told me he would lift the lid so everyone could hear me. Oh, shit. I looked over my shoulder and saw hundreds of faces looking back at me, stacked high in a circular hall. I realised the piano was right at the front of the stage with the keys facing the audience.
Fucking hell.
Pride of place for such a stunning instrument. This was when the panic set in. I couldn't pretend to play because everyone could see me. They could see my fingers. Oh, shit. I thought about faking illness or just running with stage fright. When suddenly I heard our orchestra tuning up and the audience hushing to hear our sound.
Oh, my God.
This is incredible.
Oh, my God.
The first piece began. I recognised it vaguely from the year's worth of rehearsals I had ignored.
Fucking hell.
It's so stressful.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever felt such a blind panic. So I shut my eyes, and I'm not sure if you've ever seen the keyboard cat video.
What? Not sure what?
Not sure if you've ever seen the keyboard cat video. Well, I guess it's where a cat walks across the keyboard. But I just took both hands and slammed them on the piano repeatedly in a similar fashion. I did not open my eyes until our set was done, which ensued about 15 minutes worth of utter key crashing. I blocked out all the noise and just pushed my fingers onto any key that found themselves. I sounded like five frightened cats walking up and down the keys of the piano, scared at every note but unable to get off. When I heard the orchestra finishing the final piece, I opened my eyes and heard confused, slow and short applause. I put my head down and we were ushered to our seats to watch the rest of the scores. I sat in silence watching for 2 to 3 hours with the beautiful classical music from talented secondary school students. Yeah. At the end of the day, they read out the results. Unsurprisingly, we came dead last. The entire coach trip back was in complete silence. I came home and I told my mum about a surprise competition. She said, oh, yes, I forgot to tell you. I signed a permission slip for that. I didn't know that was today. I never returned to orchestra and promptly joined netball for my new after-school club. Love the podcast. Hope this counts as gossip. Oh, God.
That's great.
That's incredible. I'm so stressed.
Yeah. What would you do? Well, he or she just did that. Fucking hell, what would you do? You'd have to go, look.
I haven't listened for a year and a half.
Yeah. Fucking hell. Oh, God.
It's like something from a film or something.
Yeah. Probably is.
Probably is, yeah. Find out it's a Stephen King novel or something. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
It's good.
Deary me. Somebody hasn't been practicing their piano scales then, have they? What a right awful racket. Deary me. What a right awful racket. Somebody hasn't been practicing their piano scales. Somebody hasn't been practicing their piano scales.
Sorry to interrupt the pod, hope you're enjoying it, but just wanted to tell you that we have a Patreon page you can join if you're enjoying what we do, and you can get even more of us. Oh, can you imagine? So as little as £3 a month, you can get early access to podcasts, behind the scenes bits and bobs, we post pics and videos of what we're up to. There's even an opportunity to come on the show, if that's what you fancy. There's access to our Discord channel where the serious chatter biscuits gather and chat. Nonsense. It's basically a really lovely community of idiots like us, and I'm guessing probably like you. So if you fancy that, go to patreon.com/chatterbix. Now, enjoy the rest of the pod.
Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl. Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl.